Good morning and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church. My name is Pastor Nate Wallenberg, and today we are gathered to remember and celebrate the life of Robert Bailey, a man who was a beloved husband and father and grandfather and larger than life in many different ways. And so as we gather, of course, we gather as we mourn, but we also mourn in hope. We know the promises that God has made to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. We know that Bob belongs to Jesus too. We look forward to the day when we will be reunited with him in heaven. And so it's that hope that gives us joy even as we gather for this memorial service today. Most of what you need for the service is printed for you in this blue bulletin. Hopefully you were able to receive one on your way in. There are a couple of things that you will need the burgundy-colored hymnal in front of you for, namely the words to the couple of the hymns that we'll have this morning. And so that being said, our opening hymn will be number 744, Amazing Grace. You may be seated. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. In holy baptism, Robert was clothed with the robe of Christ's righteousness that covered all his sin. St. Paul says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." We now continue our service by reciting the 33rd Psalm responsively. Shout for joy in the Lord, O you righteous. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Sing to him a new song. For the word of the Lord is upright. He loves righteousness and justice. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made.
By the breath of his mouth, all their hosts.
He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap.
He puts the deeps in storehouses.
Let all the earth fear the Lord. For he spoke, and it came to be.
He commanded, and it stood firm.
The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. The counsel of the Lord stands forever.
The plans of his heart to all generations.
Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord.
The people whom he has chosen as his heritage.
The Lord looks down from heaven.
He sees all the children of man.
From where he sits enthroned, he looks out.
On all the inhabitants of the earth.
He who fashions the hearts of them all. The king is not saved by his great army.
A warrior is not delivered by his great sovereign.
The war horse is a false hope for salvation.
And by his great might he cannot rescue.
Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him.
On those who hope in his steadfast love.
That he may deliver their soul from death. Our soul waits for the Lord.
He is our help and our shield.
For our heart is glad in him.
Because we trust in his holy name.
Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us.
Even as we hope in you.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God of grace and mercy, we give thanks for your loving kindness shown to Robert and to all your servants, who, having finished their course in faith, now rest from their labors. Grant that we also may be faithful unto death and receive the crown of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's word. Our first reading today comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 22, beginning with verse 1. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. He said, Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, My father! And he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went, both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second reading is from St. John's Revelation, chapter 2, beginning with verse 8. "And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, the words of the first and the last who died and came to life. I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich, and the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who conquers will not be hurt by the second death." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand. Alleluia! Alleluia! Jesus Christ is the firstborn of the dead. To him be glory and power forever. Alleluia. Our Holy Gospel reading comes to us from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 13, beginning with verse 12. When Jesus had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I am not speaking of all of you. I know whom I have chosen. But the scripture will be fulfilled. He who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. I am telling you this now before it takes place, that when it does take place, you may believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me." When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We now at this time will confess our faith, the same faith that Bob shared with us faith expressed in the Apostles' Creed. If you need the words to the creed, they are printed for you on the back flap of the hymnal. We confess together, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Our next hymn is In Christ Alone, and the words are printed for you there in the bulletin. To the family and friends of Bob Bailey, to those of you who are gathered here today to remember and celebrate his life of faith, as well as to mourn its earthly end, especially to you, Pam, Bob's beloved wife of 37 years, and Francie and Betsy and Rob and the rest of the family too. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. First and foremost, I just want to publicly express on behalf of everyone at our church and our school, our church family, our school family, I want to express our sincerest condolences to all of you. No matter what the circumstances might be, it's always a difficult thing to have to face the realities of this broken world, especially when a loved one passes away. And of course, we have complete confidence in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we will be reunited with all of our fellow believers someday. It doesn't change the fact that right here, right now, in this moment, we are feeling the grief. We are mourning, especially in situations where death comes somewhat unexpectedly. We don't see it coming. And on top of that, I know several of you in the family have had more than one loved one to say goodbye to recently. And these last few weeks, these last few months have been a whirlwind. It's okay to acknowledge that. When this month of November began, this is probably the last place you thought you'd be. This is the last thing you thought you'd be doing today, and yet here we are. But we give thanks. We have so much to praise the Lord for. We give thanks that our God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to destroy the power of death and make it possible for us to be reunited with Bob and with all the saints in heaven. Bob was welcomed into the eternal presence of Christ among the angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. That is something that gives us joy on a day like today. Personally, I'm really thankful for the amount of times that I was able to visit with Bob over the last few years. I don't think that he ever officially made it onto my regular shut-in visit rotation list at any given moment, but there were a number of times over the last few years where he had some health issues, and it gave me sort of an opportunity to just go and check in on him every once in a while. Sometimes when you guys were living over in Mount Vernon, and then most recently, of course, down the road in Irvington. And I think, you know, like most people who ever got to meet Bob for the very first time, I was sort of taken aback by the man at first. You know, big guy, big voice, big personality, and all of that. I can't say that I've ever really spent any time around the city of Chicago, but I think in my mind, Bob was kind of the embodiment of what people from Chicago are like, you know, just in his mannerisms and in his sense of humor and his demeanor and all of those things. I used to, when I was planning to go and see Bob, I'd try to catch Francie at school in the morning. I'd say, "Hey, I'm going to go see your dad today." And she'd always be like, "I'm so sorry." But, you know, I really, truly enjoyed those visits. I enjoyed our conversations. I enjoyed the things that he wanted to share with me. When he would talk about the good old days playing in basketball games and church softball games, and it was amazing. Like, he remembered every detail of every play of those games. It was like he had told those stories a million times. I think he probably did. And he might have embellished some details, I don't know. But we had some really good conversations. And of course, most importantly, it was those moments too where we would share the faith, right? We would read scripture and discuss it together. We would pray together. He would receive the Lord's Supper. Those are the things that mattered. Those are the things that ultimately made the biggest difference in Bob's life. And I'm really thankful, too, that I've gotten some time to hear from the rest of you who knew him a lot better than I did over this last week or so. I think the common thread that runs through everything you guys have told me about Bob is that he didn't just live for himself, ever. Everything that he did, he lived with other people in mind. He did things with other people in mind. He did things to serve other people. The experiences that he had in life, he wanted to share with other people. He was a people person. That's just the best way to put it. He was a people person. So that plays itself out in lots of different ways, right? It certainly played itself out in family. He always wanted the family to try to be together. He tried to facilitate that by providing his delicious Sunday breakfasts. He wanted to share his Polish rituals at the holidays with the pierogies and the Polish sausage and all of those good things. It also played out in the way that he served his country in Vietnam years ago. That he was willing to lay down his life for his country, if need be, for the sake of others. It played out in the way that he lived as a member up at Prince of Peace in Palatine. I know he's really proud of the time that he spent as an elder up there. He wasn't just someone who sat in the pew. He really got involved. He wanted to be involved. The things that he loved to share. He loved fishing. He wanted to share that. He loved hunting. He wanted to share that. He loved sports. That's why he told all the stories. He wanted to share constantly. He wanted to get other people's attention. And one of the things that really stuck out in my mind from our conversation last week was that I learned that when he really wanted to make sure that you knew he was serious, he would do something extremely simple, which is just that he would say your name twice. If he said your name twice, that's when you knew he meant business. It's a simple thing, but it was really, really effective. So you might have noticed in the first reading that we had, which is admittedly a long reading, okay? And it's a familiar one, but it's kind of like not traditional for a service like this, which is kind of fitting because Bob was kind of like a not very traditional kind of guy, so that works. But I've done a lot of funerals and memorial services before. I think this is probably the first time I've ever used this passage for a sermon like this. But the reason why this came to mind, the sacrifice of Isaac, or I guess I should probably say the almost sacrifice of Isaac in Genesis chapter 22, there's only a handful of passages in the entire Bible where the Lord gets the attention of his children by saying their name twice. And this is one of them. This scene in Genesis 22 is extremely intense. It's really dramatic, right? So Abraham has lived to be over 100 years old at this point. And he had been promised by the Lord that he would be the father of a great nation. And he waited a long time for that promise to be fulfilled. And finally, Isaac was born. And a couple of years go by, and Isaac's growing up. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, right here in this passage, we read about it, the Lord calls to Abraham and says, you need to take this son of yours and go up to that mountain and you need to sacrifice him to me. And can you imagine the devastation and the heartbreak and the confusion that Abraham must have felt as he was making that journey, not understanding why, not understanding how the Lord is going to fix all of this when it's all said and done, and yet he simply goes. And he trusts, and he obeys. And you read this account, and you just feel it, right? He's gathering the wood. He's binding up his son. He reaches out his hand. He grabs the knife. If this was a movie, we'd be like watching this through our fingers. And it's right in the moment, the biggest dramatic moment of the whole thing, where God gets the attention of his child. The angel of the Lord calls out, Abraham! Abraham. He calls his name twice. And he fixes the problem by then providing a ram for the sacrifice instead. And what's Abraham's response? He looks around him at this place, this awful place on top of this mountain where he almost had to do this terrible thing. And what does he say? He calls it Yahweh Yireh, which means the Lord will provide. I know that this is not exactly the same kind of situation that Abraham had to face that day. I'm thankful that none of us are ever going to have to go through anything like that ever again, because God has provided his son to be the greatest and last sacrifice that this world is ever going to need. But it's okay at the same time to admit that the way in which the Lord in his eternal wisdom decided to call Bob home to heaven has left us feeling confused and heartbroken. When death comes unexpectedly, it often leaves loved ones feeling shocked and devastated, and that is a natural way to respond to these things. So at least in that sense, in just a small way, we can kind of relate to what Abraham might have been feeling right here in this passage. Abraham didn't want to be on that mountain, I guarantee you. And we never wanted to be here doing this today either. Having to say goodbye to Bob a whole lot earlier than we ever thought that we'd have to. And yet, just like Abraham on the mountain, it's here in this sanctuary, in this place. Yes, even with Bob's remains standing right here on this stand in front of us all. Yes, it's here where we can proclaim loudly and clearly, Yahweh Yireh. The Lord will provide. This is the place. This is the place where God provides you with his son. This is the place where God provides you with good news. This is the place where God provides you the precious promises of the gospel, with the hope that comes from knowing that in Christ, death is never the end. This is where you are covered with the righteousness of Christ, where you're comforted by his love, where every tear gets wiped away from your eyes. This is where we come. When we're burdened with grief and confusion and devastation, and it feels like the weight of the world is upon our shoulders, and in the midst of all of that dramatic stuff that we have to deal with, the angel of the Lord calls out to us and grabs our attention because he's the one who calls the name of his children twice. The first time's over there. The first time's over there at the baptismal font, where the Lord places his name upon us and calls us by our name for the very first time. And we become a part of his children. And for Bob, that happened on September 1st, 1949. That's what it says at the top of the first page of the bulletin. That's where the Lord promised to never leave him and never forsake him. But the second time the Lord calls our name is the greatest time of all. The time when he calls us by name into our heavenly home to live with him in his kingdom forever and ever. For Bob, that happened 2 weeks ago. For us, only the Lord knows. But until that day comes, we trust, we obey, knowing and believing without a doubt that the Lord will provide. I said Bob didn't like to just keep everything in life to himself. He wanted to share his blessings with others. He wanted to share everything he experienced with others. You can bet that what he's experiencing in heaven now is absolutely no exception to that. We're all looking forward to the day when we're going to join him and all the other souls that are at rest in the arms of their Savior Jesus Christ. And knowing Bob, he's looking forward to that day too. I can guarantee that. When together we will praise God's name, we will give glory to the one who calls our name twice. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Please stand for prayer. Let us pray to the Lord, our God and Father, who raised Jesus from the dead. Almighty God, you have knit your chosen people together into one communion in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Give to your whole church in heaven and on earth your light and your peace. Lord, in your mercy. Grant that all who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection may die to sin and rise to newness of life, and so pass with him through the gate of death and the grave to our joyful resurrection. Lord, in your mercy. Grant that all who have been nourished by the holy body and blood of your Son may be raised to immortality and incorruption to be seated with him at your heavenly banquet. Lord, in your mercy. Give to the family of Robert Bailey and to all who mourn comfort in their grief, and a sure confidence in your loving care, that casting all their sorrow on you, they may know the consolation of your love. Lord, in your mercy. Give courage and faith to the bereaved, that within the communion of your church they may have strength to meet the days ahead in the assurance of a holy and certain hope and in the joyful expectation of eternal life with those they love who have departed in the faith. Lord, in your mercy, help us, we pray, in the midst of things we cannot understand, to believe and find comfort in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy, receive our thanks for Bob and for all the blessings you bestowed on him in this earthly life. Bring us at last to our heavenly home, that with him we may see you face to face in the joys of paradise. Lord, in your mercy. O God of all grace, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to bring life and immortality to light. We give you thanks that by his death he destroyed the power of death, and by his resurrection he opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Strengthen us in the confidence that because he lives, we shall live also, and that neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, will be able to separate us from your love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting his promises, we are bold to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Lord, now you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of your people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord God, our shepherd, you gather the lambs of your flock into the arms of your mercy and bring them home. Comfort us with the certain hope of the resurrection to everlasting life and a joyful reunion with those we love who have died in the faith. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Let us go forth in peace in the name of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. For our closing hymn, we will now turn to number 727 on Eagle's Wings.